All right. Yeah, that decision yesterday was a really big blow. And I remember during the recall covering a group of citizens who were out trying to get signatures, trying to get people to the polls. And there was a debate about whether or not to talk about voter ID, the prospect that people were going to need to get ID. And the decision among the activists there was that it was actually too discouraging to talk to people about jumping through a lot of hoops in order to be able to vote, that it might suppress turnout. And so they decided not to do that because they just had to get people to the polls. Well, now we're in a different place. And Doug LaFollette's right. In the next few weeks, we have to figure out how people are going to be able to vote who otherwise are not going to participate in this next election. And that's the, we have to turn to that task. We can't just let that go. I don't know how many of you were there last night at the Barrymore Theater when my friend Scott Ross got up on the stage and expressed what a lot of us are feeling. He said, I don't know if this crowd can handle some salty language. He was talking about the voter ID decision and the fact that we have to turn our shock and dismay and anger into action. And it was kind of a cathartic thing to see him peel off to his t-shirt with its expression of objection to voter ID. Well, this next speaker said the same thing to me. He said, I don't know if this crowd can handle some salty language. And I said, you know what? You just got to cut loose. Kevin Alexander Gray, great writer for the Progressive Magazine, frequent guest on national radio shows. He was Jesse Jackson, South Carolina campaign director in 1988, and Tom Harkin, Southern political director in 1992. He's a past president of the South Carolina ACLU, and he's the author of many books, including the brand new Killing Trayvons, an anthology of American violence. Get ready. Open your ears. Here comes Kevin Alexander Gray.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I was told if I say anything salty to blame it on Bill. Where's Bill at? Bill said I could say whatever I want to say. First of all, I really need to thank my progressive family, Matt, who I love. Matt lets me write whatever I want to write. And I have to tell you, I do Sirius Satellite Radio, which is uncensored radio. And being from South Carolina, I generally live a very uncensored life. So I'm going to tell y'all, I don't know if, I'm not going to apologize in advance because, you know, if you're offended, maybe you need to be offended. I have two preacher brothers, but I'm not a preacher. I have a tendency just to talk about issues the way they are. And I want to talk today about where do we go from here and what's at stake in changing our politics beyond voting. I used to start speeches back during the anti-apartheid struggle, and I would say to the crowd, Aman La, and they would say, away to, and that's power to the people. And I got, as I get older, I realize, well, there are some people that don't need to have the power. You know, talking about power to the people, you could get in a whole lot of trouble. But we ought to be talking about power to the people who are for justice, peace, freedom, and a love for all humanity. That's what progressive politics is about. That's what we ought to be about. And we ought to be talking about peace, not in terms of quiet. As we've seen in Ferguson, we saw a whole lot of people parachute in to Ferguson, and they talked about peace, but they were really talking about quiet. In a country where our politics is so guided by violence and war and killing, where we saw a president get on TV the other night and talk about American exceptionalism, like that was any different from manifest destiny, or any different from God's chosen people or somebody's chosen people. Well, other people aren't chosen. Other people have to give up their lives, their land, their labor. We've got to move in a new direction in this country. It's got to be more than about voting for people, who don't reflect our values, be they black, be they white, be they whatever. Thinking that, looking at President Obama, who looks a lot like President Bush, who looks a lot like Bill Clinton, who looks a lot like Richard Nixon, the idea that every president has to take this country to war. Now, I got into politics because my father went in the Navy in 1940. And he had four sons, and all of us went in the military. And he had four sons, and only I'm the only one that didn't end up in prison or in jail. So my politics are connected to who I am and what I think this country ought to be about. Someone once said, we do better. I just heard that. We do better when we all do better. And it's time for this country to be about doing better. It's time for this country to be about protecting everybody and looking at the people in the past who we wronged. Now, you want to talk about Scott Walker, and I picked up the paper this morning. I looked at this voter ID law, and then in South Carolina and here, it's about limiting who gets Medicaid funding, and this politics based on, basically, we got to keep the niggers from getting something. We got to keep them from voting. We got to keep them from having health care, that police can shoot them down in the streets because they're nothing but animals, and you think that that won't, can't happen to you or your kids when people with sadistic power have control. We've got to talk about changing the violent nature of our national politics. We've got to talk about changing the violent nature of our local politics. We've got to start putting people in power who aren't about killing people. Yeah. It's about equal rights, equal protection, and equal treatment for everybody. And it ought not be about whether or not education is affordable. It ought to be about education being free. Yeah. Free education. I mentioned war because, as I said, I've been in the military. I have several nephews and nieces that are in the military now. Luckily, my son didn't go in the military. But when you consider that a tour of duty in Afghanistan, in Iraq, cost $1.5 million per troop per tour. And these kids come back and they kill themselves at a rate, what is it, 30 people, 30 a day? A day, because war affects you. Killing people affects you. And the fact that we could spend $1.5 million per troop, per tour, and we can't find money to pay for their education. We can't find that elusive education, peace dividend that I once heard Bill Clinton actually talk about. We've got to do better in this country. And so to have a president or have anybody stand up and talk about going to war, a president who decides every Tuesday who's going to die, that president has no more authority. I learned a lot of things with Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson's been taking it on the chin lately. But I learned, Jesse tells a lot of little small stories. I remember when he was running for office, he talked about more authority. And Jesse said, more authority is when your grandmother told you to shut up. And he said it wasn't because your grandmother could hurt you, which she could. It was because your grandmother was right, and she loved you. And so when you talk about more authority, this country has lost its more authority a long time ago with all these wars and killing for the last 30, 40 years. Well, we've killed over 30 million people in the last 30 years, and when we want to go around the world talking about American exceptionalism, America's great role, it isn't even about self-defense. It's about killing for power, killing for money, killing so corporations can steal people's land, resources, lives, and labor. We've got to demand that politicians, locally and nationally, give us something to vote for. Now, I know a lot of politicians are going to be out here today, and God bless them. God bless them. I'm never going to tell anybody not to vote. But we ought to vote, be able to vote for something and people that we believe in. We ought to be able to vote for politicians that will end this culture of violence. Now, I'm going to, as I said, I want to talk about some real serious things because, as I said, the Ferguson stuff is serious stuff. And someone asked me, did you go to Ferguson? I said, no. I said, we had 30 police shootings in South Carolina last year. I don't need to go to Ferguson to learn about what police will do to a black person. Really? And I'm still not so sure about putting both of my hands up as a sign of rebellion. I'm still that kind of a power guy, you know, power to the people. I don't know. I don't know if that's power to the people. I think that's surrendering. So we've got to start holding government, holding police, holding ourselves accountable. We've got to be conscious of who we are as progressives. We've got to understand, and I'm sitting here looking at a predominantly white crowd, what skin privilege is and what that means. It means I was watching one of these videos where the police officer was fired because some young guy said, "Who are you?" Asked the officer, "What's your name?" And the officer said, "I'm officer, go fuck yourself." And I said, and when I said that, I said, "That's got to be a white kid. There's no black kid that's going to respond to any officer, 'Hey, officer, go fuck yourself, where are you going?' Because that kid will be killed, because that's the way that's going to go." And the idea, even in South Carolina, just last week, a man going into his car for his wallet gets shot by the highway patrol. All I could think about was the Richard Pryor joke back in the 70s. "Officer, I'm reaching into my pocket for my wallet." We call this book that's coming out now Killing Trayvons, plural, Killing Trayvons, because either, if it's either death by a cop or death by stand your ground, it's death. And we've got to start developing strategies to combat this kind of stuff. We've got to fight back. If it's stand your ground, we got to fight it here in Wisconsin. We got to fight it in Florida. We got to fight it all around this country. This idea that everybody believes that power comes from the point of a gun. If we're against the death penalty, if we're against the death penalty, we ought to be against the death penalty by cop. That where a cop gets to decide to be judge, jury, and executioner, often for crimes, that if those crimes were adjudicated, that person wouldn't get the death penalty. Because it's all about stop or I'll shoot. And that's not just a sadistic cop, that's the government talking to you. Stop or I'll shoot. Stop or I'll kill you. Do what I said at the point of this gun or I will kill you. That's what it's about, the death penalty, expanding the death penalty to cops, expanding the death penalty to stand your ground on the street to some person that has a license to kill granted to them by the government. We've got to understand those issues. And we've got to organize locally to fight back. We've got to organize those citizen review boards that have power to bring people to court, to punish people who are sadistic and who kill people because they can. It's tough when you're pulled over for a police stop and your life is in danger because you have a busted taillight, or your life is in danger because you made an illegal U-turn, or your life is in danger because somebody thinks that a nigger is an animal and I can kill him and get away with it because nobody's gonna say anything. And the police are always right. And we send the police out to investigate the police. And most of the time, 99% of the time, the police come back and say it was a justified kill. Because it's our culture of violence from the top to the bottom. And we can't just, as I said, we can't just say to those police walking the streets, and we've got to respect, because we're peace people, we're progressives, we're trying to respect the humanity of those people that are supposed to be keeping the peace, not law enforcement, keeping the peace. Because if people don't respect the law, no amount of forcing them to respect it at gunpoint is gonna do. People have to respect the fairness of the law, they have to respect the fairness of those that enforce the law. And it doesn't have to be all about a gun. So when we go out this fall, we ought to demand those politicians, first of all, I said, revisit this idea as it relates to police violence, that it ought to be always shoot to kill. We need to take that power from the police. At the national level, we ought to demand that politicians ought not be so quick to take us to war. And we ought to hold all of them accountable and not give anybody a pass. We ought not think that just because President Obama and he's got a nice wife and a nice family and they look good, black guy, he might do better, he might understand something. Well, I know a lot of black politicians that follow that corporate line, that believe that money is power, that believe that they're put in power for Wall Street, that they're put in power for the people that have the money and the control. We've got to hold them accountable. If we have to go to general strikes and sit out working, if we have to do like the people in Ferguson and block the interstates, if we have to fight back against the police and stand and say no more, if we've got to do what y'all did in Wisconsin, we were so proud of everybody that went down to the state capitol, Wisconsin. Sitting back in South Carolina and seeing Matthew get arrested and seeing people singing in the state capitol, that brought a lot of hope to a lot of people. Wisconsin means something to somebody from South Carolina who lives at the heart, in the heart and soul of the Confederacy, who lives in a state where every street is named after a Confederate hero, in a state where a Confederate flag flies on the state house, in a state where people are proud that they succeeded from the Union, that the street that runs in front of the state house is named Robert E. Lee Highway. We were proud to see the people of Wisconsin stand up and lead the progressive movement. I want y'all to continue to lead that movement, continue to be the champions that you are. I'm so thankful that Matthew invited me to be here today. It's kind of cold here. I was 90 degrees. Yeah, I know it's warm. I joked on the way. I understood why slavery lasted so long, because it's cold up here. And I invite y'all to be side by side with me in this movement that we're going to build. It's movement time. It's movement time in this country. It's movement time. It's time to get back in the streets. It's movement time. It's time to rebuild coalitions. It's time to rebuild multiracial coalitions. It's time to rebuild multi-issue coalitions. It's movement time. It's movement time. Power to the people.